Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I get a lot of mail here at church that seeks to sell us on the latest programs that have been offered for churches. Here I'll give you just a few of the headlines from the last couple of months. Grow your church in 5 easy steps. Sounds like a chia pet. Increase per capita giving by 25% with these helpful tips. Unite your congregation with text messaging. 3 reasons people aren't giving and how to fix it this Sunday. Do you know what none of these things ever mentioned? God's Word. Forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. That's because these are programs and really concerns of the world. And while they may sound like they're good things, who doesn't want Christ Church to be bigger? They really do not have in mind the things of God. We confess that it is the Holy Spirit that calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies. We confess that the heart that is quickened by God's Spirit loves to serve his neighbor by sharing generously with what the Lord has given. We confess that it is only pure doctrine, the right preaching and teaching and administering of God's word, that can ever really unite Christ's church. Today's text gives us a glimpse of just how differently God accomplishes his purposes. As you heard in the reading from the Gospel, Peter, James, and John had been out all night in the lake fishing, and they hadn't caught a single fish. Since they made their living fishing, they obviously knew how to operate the boats and the nets, and like going to a Montana river with Terry or with some other fisherman that has been a lifelong fisherman here in Montana, they knew where the fish were supposed to be. But they didn't catch a thing. It doesn't seem like that was an accident or bad luck, and indeed we will find out in a moment that it certainly was not. But after they returned to the shore in the early morning, as they were cleaning their nets and putting them away for the day, a great crowd had gathered nearby, and they had pushed Jesus up to the very edge of the lake. They had come in order to hear the word of God. That's an amazing thing by itself. A crowd of people pressing around a teacher to hear the word of God. Jesus, being nearby to Peter's boat, asked him to put out to the water a little ways so that he could use the boat now as a floating pulpit of sorts. Again, this is not by accident. The Holy Spirit works when and where it pleases God. He is the one that gathered this crowd to Jesus at this place, so that he could preach to us. While we aren't told exactly what Jesus taught in the sermon, we do know what happened right after he had finished. The text says that when he was done speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out now into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Peter is not very excited about this command, is he? "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. We've done all the work already, and there were no fish. But at your word, I will let down the net." In spite of his doubts, he did what Jesus invited him to do. And the catch was so great that the nets were breaking, and it took them calling the other boat to bring all the fish in. Let's be honest about what's happening in this text. The catch had nothing to do with luck. The catch of fish had nothing to do with their timing or skill or equipment or the weather. It simply had everything to do with Jesus' word. Because he spoke, this is what happened. Their work, all night long, produced nothing. God's work, at the speaking of the word, let down the nets, produced everything. If only those magazine writers were aware of this text. text as well. Notice that the preaching comes first. It was a whole morning filled with preaching. While Jesus sat in the boat and Peter listened and the crowds on shore heard what he said. Everything that comes after now is a result of that preached word. Of this event and in this text, Luther says, Peter is to become a different man. There is a greater miracle being wrought in him than the draught of fishes. The sermon which Christ had preached from the boat now first began to have its effect on Peter. And that's what happened. When Peter saw the miraculous catch of fish and the boats that were sinking, he fell down at Jesus' knees in the boat, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." No longer a term of endearment or respect, master or teacher, he now calls him the Lord. This is not at all unlike Isaiah when he saw the Lord and the seraphim, and when he felt the foundations of the house tremble and the place filled with smoke, as he realized that he was in the presence of the living God. Isaiah said, "Woe is me, I am doomed, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. But now my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You know what he's saying. He can't live long in this condition. That's what happened in the lake, in the boat on the lake of Gennesaret. Peter encountered the King, the Lord of hosts. He knew that he was in God's presence, and therefore he knew he was in real trouble. What unholy, sinful man can stand or live even another second in the presence of the holy, almighty God? How many of you believe that you are in the Lord's presence right now? How many are keenly aware of your sins, and so not very comfortable in those pews in his presence? Perhaps we are not afraid enough. But Jesus wasn't there to judge and condemn Peter. He wasn't there to spit out Isaiah either, but rather to convert them to a lively faith and to call them to follow him. Jesus said to Peter, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." The text literally says you will catch men alive. And at this word, Peter and his associates pulled their boats onto the shore and left everything, including the valuable fish, and they followed Jesus. Put yourself into those fishermen's shoes for a minute, if you will, or maybe into their boats. You've heard the preaching and teaching with authority that has come from Jesus. You have now seen and been astonished by the miraculous catch of fish. You have two boats full of valuable fish. Would you have left it all? The costly boats, the expensive nets, your entire livelihood, your parents' way of life, not to mention the huge payday, and then follow Jesus? We would like to think that we would. Many of us would probably boldly proclaim that if it was us, there would be no doubt we would follow Jesus. But I'm not so sure that's true. I'm not so sure because it's hard to even defeat the snooze button some mornings, to come to God's house, to share a meal with him, and at 10 o'clock in the morning, no less. If we can't do that, would we have really done the other? How many other things get in the way of coming to Jesus and following him? You see, the miracle that takes place in the boat is not really the great catch of fish. For what is that to the Creator of all things? The miracle that really takes place here is the miracle of faith, which the Creator alone can work, and not in a bunch of fish, but in those who hear his word. This catch of fish demonstrates with power how Jesus' church comes into existence through the preaching of his spoken and visible word. This was a living example of exactly what was going to happen when Jesus' disciples, his apostles, were sent out into the deep of this world to preach that gospel. They would catch so many people alive that they would be astonished. You remember on the day of Pentecost, they baptized 3,000 in one day alone. Just as this catch of fish has nothing to do with their timing or skill or personality or the weather, neither would fishing for men, the gathering of Christ's church on earth, depend at all upon them. The gathering of Christ's church does not depend upon sinful men, certainly not upon gimmicks or worldly programs, but entirely upon God's word. The preaching of the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sin that is made by the Holy One's blood. It's very different than these articles that come in the mail every week about how to grow the church and make it flourish. That can only happen by the word. Now I know what you see with your eyes this morning tells a little different story. The crowds aren't pressing in on us in this place. There's plenty of space, even moderately comfortable space. And it isn't too hard to hear. You won't see a miraculous catch of fish today. It's unfortunate, but you won't. But the miracle of faith that took place on that day is still happening right now. As God's holy word is preached and administered, the faith that he has already created in your heart, that the devil and the world keep trying to destroy, is renewed and strengthened again. Jesus hasn't come into this boat, into this nave, to judge or condemn you. He has come to save you and to call you into his service as his church, as his living people in this dying world. You know the voices in this world that are clamoring for your attention every single day. And you know that with those voices comes a lot of noise that sometimes makes it hard to hear what's really important and to know what is true. There are fanatics and heretics everywhere crying to you to look to them for salvation or trust what you see with your eyes or what you feel with your heart. They want you to buy their program. And to rely on human wisdom. And in that picture, God's still small voice seems like nothing compared to all their booming. What can his call to repentance and baptism with water and the word and the preaching of this word possibly do? These things seem so insignificant, but they really are everything. That's what this text teaches. When God speaks in his mercy, good things happen. Maybe you've never been compared to a fish before, but Jesus does it here, so we'll follow the example. You are among those fish, those men alive, that God has brought into the boat with his net, with the net of his gospel. You are his church. He has called and gathered you together. And it hasn't worked any other way. You are here because his word has worked on you. Yes, your parents brought you. Yes, someone who cares about you invited you to attend. Yes, the people here are welcoming and they care about each other a great deal. Yes, there are good things happening here. But you are really here because God has gathered you here to hear his word. He has spoken. And you have. It's easy to look around at the dwindling number of people who attend church every Sunday and to become alarmed at what's going on, to ponder what's going on, to ask the question, what are we doing wrong? But when we do that, we are suddenly right back in the world and we begin to blame God for our problems. Your word and sacraments aren't enough, God. We need a better program, God. We need more exciting worship service, God. We need a better preacher, God. Your word is too harsh, God. Who can hear? And on it goes. But do you see that in this we blame God? And when the church blames God for the lack of people, when the church decides that the word and the sacraments that Jesus has given are not enough to convert and save, as he has promised they will do, then the church starts to look a lot more like a club or an amusement park. And when the church takes up the business of entertaining people and making them feel good about themselves rather than teaching the truth, condemning sin, and proclaiming forgiveness, then that church is no longer Christ's church, but has become a chapel of the devil. Remember that Peter, James, and John fished the entire night before Jesus used their boat and their work, and they didn't produce a single fish. God's word here clearly teaches that the burden of growing the church, or sticking with Jesus' metaphor of catching the fishes, doesn't belong to us. The church was created and founded upon Jesus' preaching. He continues to grow his church by his preached word and teaching, by baptism and the Lord's Supper. The purpose of the church is to proclaim the gospel and nothing more. And so the purpose of the preacher of the church is to simply cast out that net, to preach God's word and administer his sacraments, and let God do what God has promised he will do. He will gather the miraculous gathered. He will strengthen faith and bring them to himself. As you consider this word again today, trust that God is working through his still small word. It may not be as powerful, seemingly, as the words that come from this world, but it is. Trust then that he is working on those outside of the church, that he is at work in you, those who he has already gathered into the boat. Don't look to the gimmicks and programs and those who are wise in the world. Don't be afraid of what you see with your eyes, even if all the pews were empty. Jesus' words to Peter are his words to you as well. Do not fear. I have purchased and won you with my body and blood, with my innocent suffering and death. Do not fear. I have called you by the gospel and made you alive and drawn you to myself, and you are mine. Do not fear. By my word, I created a miraculous faith in your heart. I will sustain it, and I will keep you safe. I will never leave you or forsake you. Apart from anything that you have done, you are completely and totally saved in and by Jesus Christ. This day, this very moment, you are in the presence of the Lord of hosts. But do not be afraid. He has not come to destroy you. He knows your name. He knows the number of the hairs on your head. He gave up his life for you. He has forgiven your many sins. And he will continue to speak his blessings in your life. Lord, at your word, we believe. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, the life everlasting.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin, and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.